I want to invite you to take your Bible this morning with me and turn to Mark chapter 12. And we're going to be reading the last verses of Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. If you have a pew Bible today, that is on page 718. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. And as we turn to the Word this morning, just a reminder of where we have been as a church body recently. We shared a sermon series together called Stuff Jesus Hates, and we went through some stories in the Gospels where Jesus became harsh, you know, turning the tables at the temple, confronting religious leaders, striking a fruitless fig tree dead. And you may remember some of the things that Jesus hates. Not people, but attitudes such as pride and hypocrisy and empty religion, spiritual abuse, fruitlessness, and robbing worship from God. So this morning we turn the page and begin to look at stuff Jesus loves. And let's begin by reading this story found in Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So this is a pretty simple story in the life of Jesus. At the temple in Jerusalem, you see, they didn't pass a plate like we did this morning to take up an offering. Instead, there was a room set aside where people would go in order to bring their offering and to drop their gifts to the temple into these receptacles. And there were 13 receptacles in this room with big trumpet-shaped openings, and people would go in and they would drop their offering in one of these 13 receptacles, and each one was set aside for a different purpose. Some of them were for the needs of the temple, the building itself, and the ongoing ministry, and some of them were for the orphans, and some were for the widows, and some were for the hungry. And so each one of these receptacles had its own meaning, and people were encouraged on their way to sacrifice, not only to make a sacrifice, but also to bring some sort of a monetary donation to this room. And we're told that one day Jesus was sitting by that room with his back to the wall, watching people as they were bringing their offering. As they were dropping those offerings into the receptacles, Jesus' eyes were on them. And verse 41 tells us that many rich people threw in large amounts. And so probably, you think about it, I suppose you could tell that they were rich people by the way that they were dressed, by the way that they carried themselves, and by the large amounts of money that they dropped into the receptacles. The coins would clink and clank as they went down the neck of these big trumpet-shaped receptacles into the treasury, the box below, announcing to the crowd that this large sum had just been delivered. It's kind of like winning the jackpot at the casino, except in opposite, you know, because you say, where did it all go? But it all goes down into the receptacle, and the more you put in, the more noise it makes. So what did Jesus have to say about these rich people who were giving large sums? Actually, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything positive or negative about them. He simply watched. Then we're told that a poor widow steps up to give her offering. And perhaps you could tell that she was a widow by the way that she was dressed. And perhaps you would also know that she was poor by looking at the way she was dressed. And she was one of the least powerful people in society that day, a poor widow. In fact, you would think that she would be a recipient of the temple's benevolence rather than a donor. But Jesus watches her. She walks up to one of the offering receptacles and she drops two very small copper coins into that place. As some translations name the coins as mites, And that's where we get the name of the story, the widow's mite. But the Greek word for that coin is lepta, which just means thin pieces. These were the smallest coins that were used by the Jews in those days. They were worth a fraction of a cent. And the sound of those coins wouldn't even register as they were being dropped into the receptacle. I don't think anybody else there even noticed her. There was nothing impressive about her, and there was nothing impressive about her offering that meets the eye. But Jesus made a point of calling his disciples together, of huddling up with them. Come on, guys, come here. I need to show you something. I need to show you something incredible, guys. Come over here. And as he calls them together, he points to this widow who has just dropped these two thin coins into the offering, and he says to his disciples, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Now, Judas was the treasurer for the disciples at that time, and he was probably holding the money purse for them and probably laughed a little bit inside. You know, really, Jesus? You called us over here to point out this widow and tell us that she's dropped these two little coins in that receptacle, and you're going to tell us that she's given more than everyone else? That's ridiculous. That doesn't add up. You must be kidding. In fact, everyone here has given more than this woman. She's given the least. It makes no sense. But what Judas and the other disciples didn't know is that Jesus sees things differently than we do. He sees things differently than we do. You see, they were looking at the scene through the human economy. They were looking at the scene through human eyes. And in the human economy, two things are true. First of all, value is placed on the wealth of the giver. See, it mentions that there were rich people who were giving. But also in the human economy, value is placed on the amount of the gift. Because not only were there wealthy people there who were giving, but the text also tells us that they were giving large amounts. So it's the wealth of the giver and the amount of the gift that matter in the human economy through human eyes. In other words, as the disciples were watching these coins being dropped into the receptacles, their assessment would be that the greatest gifts were given by the rich. They had more. They were wealthy. They had earned, and they had plenty to give, and the amount of their gifts was much larger, and they dropped handfuls of much larger coins into the receptacle, making loud clanging noises in comparison to those two measly thin coins that hardly make a sound. In the human economy, the wealth of the giver and the amount of the gift are what matters. And these were the givers who the disciples were most impressed with. Now be careful. Jesus did not say anything negative about these who gave. He simply made a statement about this woman. See, in his eyes, she gave more than they gave. He didn't say anything negative about what they had given. He simply said, this woman has given more. Why is that? Well, Jesus was looking at things through different eyes. He was looking in light of heaven's economy. And heaven's economy is a bit different than human economy. Verse 44 tells us what Jesus was thinking. Mark 12:44 in the Message version says, all the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. The NIV says they gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. In heaven's economy, value is placed, first of all, on the level of sacrifice. That's what Jesus notices. That there is a sacrifice that is being made here. Jesus knew that the crowds of people were dropping money into the offering that day. They were giving what they could afford, right? They were living handsome, rich lives, and they were taking what was skimmed off the top, what they could afford, what didn't hurt them, and they put that into the treasury that day. But this poor widow is different than they are in that she gives what she cannot afford. So he commends her for it. She gave her all. Now, does this make you feel uncomfortable at all this morning? If we pass the plate one more time this morning, do you think that we'd be able to scratch up a little bit more after hearing this story? Just squeeze a little bit more out of you this morning, do you think? Did you give this morning what you can afford, or did you give what you can't afford? Are you worried this morning, a little bit anxious, because you put something in the plate and you're wondering, am I going to have enough this week for me? That's what's going on here in this passage. But before we go too far down that road, and before I become the stereotypical Southern Baptist preacher who always talks about money and always talks about giving, I want you to remember something. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. His greatest interest is not in how much money you put in the offering plate. That's not what he's impressed with at all. That's not what Jesus was impressed with at all. That's just the beginning of it. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just one show of devotion to him. See, what God wants is so much more. He wants so much more than what we put in the offering plate. He wants all of you. He wants everything. He wants you to put your whole body, your whole wealth, your whole life into that offering plate. He wants you to climb into the receptacle and give your whole self. If you don't believe me, let's look at Scripture together. There's some passages I want you to see. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Everything you do should be dedicated to the glory of God. All of it. There's nothing that's left out in that passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Everything you do, not just a portion of it, not just what's affordable for you, all of it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything." Everything you have has been given to you by God, so we always give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe Diana was just singing about. All of those memories in the past, everything that you've been through, is to be brought before God and to say, "Thanks, God, for this." Everything. There's nothing left out. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now I'm meddling because this is some of y'all's favorite verse, right? And I'm going to get into your favorite verse where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight." You see that? We're not leaving anything out in these passages of Scripture. It's talking about all of you being dedicated to God, the whole thing. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus modeled this for us. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." He gave all that He could, holding nothing back. His whole life was service to God. And then Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus seals all of these verses up by saying, "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Those are some strong words. What God wants from us is everything. Not just a portion. Not just what's comfortable. Not just what's affordable. But everything. So this morning, I don't think we should feel uncomfortable about how much money we've put into the offering plate when we read this passage. We should assess how much of our lives we have dedicated to God. That's what we should be looking at. So does this mean, this passage mean that I have to put everything that I have in my wallet in the offering plate? Is that what it means? What you're saying is the Lord wants me to write a check and clean out my accounts this morning and give them to the church. Is that what you're saying? Look, that's between you and God. That's not my call. Not my call at all. But I know this from the Word of God. What He really wants is your whole life. He wants your money and He wants everything. He wants you to take everything He has given you. Everything He has given you. Your money, your talents, your family, your home, your work, everything he's given you, your education, your influence, your relationships, your health, everything, every part of you, everything you have, he wants you to take it all and to drop it down the receptacle and give it to him. Clang, 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 all the way down. And you may think it's small. Boy, in comparison to what others have to give, mine is so small. Mine's just two thin coins. Maybe a little bit more than that widow put in, but still, not very impressive. Doesn't matter. God wants it all of you. And he wants to use it all to bring glory to himself. Now, how unfulfilling and small our lives are when we section off a small, affordable portion for him to use and hoard the rest for ourselves. How much richer life will be when we just let him have it all. God, it all belongs to you. Sure, God, you want me to enjoy it and to use it and to live off it, but it's yours. It was yours to begin with, and it's yours each and every day. Now, how can I use all you have given me to glorify you, God? Maybe that's the question we should be asking. So Jesus uses the example of this poor widow to help us see how heaven balances the checkbook. It's a little different. Heaven's economy places value on sacrifice, giving more than we should give. That is what Jesus loves. And faith, because in heaven's economy, value is placed on a level of faith as well. Jesus knew this poor widow's heart. He knew where she was coming from. He knew that she was thrilled to give anything that day. And he knew that it was everything that she had. He knew that as she walked away from that collection plate that day, as she walked away from those coins, she walked away from everything she owned. She had just given it all. There was nothing left. Imagine that feeling. She wasn't fretting over it. She had faith that God would provide, and this is precisely the message that Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples. And he still tries to get this message across to us today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew chapter 19, verse 29 says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields, whatever it is you've left for my sake, whatever it is you've sacrificed for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 says, "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked." And in Psalm 34, we read, "Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." These are promises from our God that when you give him your all, he will supply your needs. So the tendency when we hear a message like this is to say, but if I give all of my life to God, what's left for me? You know, if I give everything to God, what's left for me? What do I get out of it? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to become a monk or a nun or even worse, some stereotypical Southern Baptist fried chicken eating, preaching about money all the time preacher? Is that what God wants from me? The answer, of course, is no, that's not what God wants from you. He wants you to glorify him first with the life that he has given you now. He wants you to glorify him first with the life that he has given you now. Because everything you have, everything you own, and everything you are is because of him. And what he says is, take it and put it on the altar. Give it to me. And I will use it to glorify myself, and you will be blessed beyond what you could ever imagine. Because God always blesses those who give to him. What you don't realize is when you give your life over to God, he gives you so much more. Your cup runs over, right? You just can't outgive God. It's impossible to do. And the question is, will you take him at his word? Do you have enough faith to step out and to give more of yourself to him? And Jesus makes sure his disciples understand that. He points out this woman and her faith and her sacrifice to help them understand the type of faith that he desires from them. Not a drop in the bucket faith. not a here's what I can afford faith. He desires sold out, full market value faith. He wants your all. On October 28th, 1949, 22-year-old Jim Elliot was reading a biography of a British preacher by the name of Philip Henry, written by his more popular son, Bible commentator Matthew Henry. And Matthew Henry wrote this about his father. He said, "He was a kind and a generous man who always said, 'He is no fool who parts with that which he cannot keep when he is sure to be recompensed with that which he cannot lose.'" Now, Jim Elliot read those words, and he was so impressed with them that he wrote them down in his own words in his personal journal. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And you've probably heard me speak about Jim Elliot before, and I don't apologize for that because he's one of my heroes. I hope he's one of your heroes, too. I've read his journals. I read everything that his widow, Elizabeth Elliot, has written about him. I've read just about everything else that has been written about his life because I'm impressed with him. One of my friends in Bible college had parents who knew Jim Elliot personally when they were house parents at Wheaton College, and he was on their floor, and he was preparing to be a missionary. Jim Elliot gave his life to the Lord as a missionary. He prepared himself to go to the mission field in Ecuador and to learn the language of the Quechua Indians there and to translate the Bible into their language and to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the age of 29, the same Indians that he came to save and to give the Word of God killed him, along with three others of his workers, fellow missionaries, down in the jungles of Ecuador. Now, that's 58 years ago now, 58 years ago. But Jim Elliot's journal entry lives on. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You want to read some more Jim Elliot quotes? Yeah. I'm glad you want to, because I've got some more for you. "Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God." You don't go into things as half a person. If it's the will of God, get in there. Throw your whole being into it. What a beautiful quote. Next one. "Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know so extraordinary a God." It felt like apologizing to people. "Look, I've got a God who is incredible, extraordinary, awesome, and I'm sorry I'm just so normal in comparison to him." Boy, we should reflect his extraordinariness. Next, "God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him." I love that quote. If you leave the choice with him, what are you going to do with my life, God? He will always give you the best. Isn't this right down the same alley that we've been looking at this morning? Next one. "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." And that's the life that Jim Elliot lived. You know, a couple of thin coins dropped into the temple treasury, sacrificed by a poor widow with a heart full of faith and love for her God. And the priests who counted that money at the end of the day might look at those coins and giggle. "Who put these in? What value are these to us? These mean nothing." But Jesus stood impressed and called his disciples to himself and pointed at this woman and said, "Look at this woman. She's given more than anyone else. And she has been called out on the pages of Scripture, in two passages of Scripture, two of the Gospels, for all eternity, because of this little act of faithful service to God." She didn't hear what Jesus had to say. I don't think she heard a word Jesus said as he was speaking to his disciples. She just walked away and went about her day. Now, what would Jesus have to say to his disciples about you as you walk up to the receptacle and give to God? Are you just one of the rich people in the crowd, dropping off impressive amounts of your life that you can easily afford? Or are you giving him your all? Are you allowing him to squeeze every last drop out of your life? And what does it look like to give him your all? Now, there's a conversation that would take a while. And there's a question that I can't answer easily, because the answer to that question is different for each one of us. God has given the best that he has to save your soul, his son Jesus Christ. And I hope that you know him as your Lord and Savior, that you have put your faith in him for salvation. But see, the rest of our lives here in this world are spent living for him and thanking him and glorifying him. And the question is, how much of you is involved in that process? Is it just a little bit? Can we just give a little? Or is it our all? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So worship is so much more. This is your worship. Worship is so much more than just showing up on Sunday morning to sing a few tunes with God's people and to hear the word of God and then to put a check in the offering and then to walk out. Worship is so much more than that. It's being a living sacrifice, giving him your all. Look at your life and ask this question this morning along with me as I look at my life. What part of my life is not glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? What part of my life am I completely living for me and I have pulled it off the altar and it's nowhere near the receptacle? What part of my life is not glorifying to him right now? What am I holding back from him? Am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to turn it over to him? Will I be a living sacrifice? And will you, with the faith of a poor widow, sacrifice your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? God, this is all I've got, but it's all yours. Maybe you need to sacrifice your pride. Maybe it's your time that you've been holding out from God. Maybe it's some sort of service that you know you should be doing for him, but you just haven't got around to it yet. Maybe it's obedience to God in some area of your life that you've been holding back. Maybe it's a talent that God has given to you that you've decided you don't want to share. Maybe it's your money. Maybe you have much more than you know what to do with, but you're just holding it back for that rainy day that's not coming. It's time to turn over your life to Jesus, the whole thing, and to let all of that go to his glory. To let it go to his glory. Let him use it. Stop holding it back. Your life will never be more beautiful than when it is placed in the hands of Jesus Christ for his use and for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for this beautiful widow that Jesus noticed. Perhaps nobody else noticed her in the temple courts that day, but he did. And he's left us with a great example for which to pattern our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would learn from her example. Father, that we could live our lives with more sacrifice and more faith. Lord, that we would quit mailing it in. Lord, that we would be all in. And Father, that you would show us what that looks like individually. Lord, I know that there are folks here this morning who are wrestling with turning their heart over to you, turning an area of their life over to you. And Father, I know that this isn't a decision that we make once and that's it. But you told us we need to take up our cross daily and follow you. So help us, Father, day by day as we live this life to live it for you. Each moment, Lord, to ask the question, can I give more to glorify my God? Can I give more to thank him in everything? Help us, Lord, to learn what it means to throw all we have in your receptacle and to walk away blessed by you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.